right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. And a reminder, tomorrow's an afternoon game, so we'll be doing Blue Jays talk following the game.
Mm.
And we'll be doing Blue Jays talk tonight as well.
Nice.
And you can all join us, because there's no hockey.
Hey, what happened?
Well,
Buffalo Bills of hockey. That's what happened. What'd I say? I shouldn't have said that, should I? That's rude.
That is rude.
I apologize.
I wouldn't apologize.
Feels that way, though.
I wouldn't apologize.
Don't it feel that way? It's got a little feel to it. Like,
this is...
Got the best player on planet Earth. You can't win?
Yeah. They got two really good players.
Well, they don't have a goalie. I don't know anything about hockey, but I know what a goalie's supposed to look like. Yeah. That ain't supposed to look like that, is it?
I really do mean this. We had a caller in Blue Jays talk last night who was in Edmonton, and I said, why are you, thank you for calling.
Because I'm a Jets fan.
What the hell are you calling for? And he said, Jeff, I'm from Winnipeg, and you know what that means. And I understood, that back to the WHA and the NHL screwing over the Jets when the Jets came into the NHL. And, I just think there are great parts of this country that don't want another part of the country to win the Stanley Cup.
Huh.
The Calgary Flames fans, they don't want Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup fans. Nobody wants Vancouver Canucks.
Wait, it's not a Canadian thing?
Yeah.
No, it's not?
No. The only Canadian, the Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens are historic teams. They have some ties. Winnipeg is probably the only team in the country people would cheer for because just about everybody in the country at one point or another lived in Winnipeg and moved elsewhere. Mm. And also Winnipeg, it's hard to get worked up. But what are you going to hate Winnipeg for? There's nothing. So anyhow, as a Jets fan.
I'd have to root against them because you like them.
And I will admit, I had the pleasure, and I do mean this, of hosting a couple of shows when I started out on this station with Paul Maurice, the Florida Panthers coach, and I've got a ton of time for him.
Nice.
I have a ton of time.
They're a really good team, too.
And they are. They are a good team. I hate them because of some of the players they have, but they're relentless. They're just absolutely relentless.
They're better than everybody else.
They are.
Yeah. Deal with it.
They are.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
And they're not going away anytime soon.
Don't look at it.
Anyhow, enough hockey talk. I guess now we just wait for the Leafs to do something. That'll be the next
quick one. Last one.
Yeah.
Change your thoughts on McJesus. You think differently about him? Been to two in a row?
No.
He hasn't won it?
No.
Doesn't matter. He's still the best player on earth?
Yes.
Okay.
That is without question.
Okay.
We are going to, you go to the back leg line today because we will be using the back leg line tomorrow, but it will be for Blue Jays talk. So it's kind of complicated. This is your chance to leave questions or comments for Kevin and myself or for the skipper, John Schneider. We'll talk to John on Friday. Ken in Windsor left us a voice note.
Like every Jays fan, we've all been waiting for Vladdy to be Vladdy this year and been kind of average. He had a good night last night. So I was looking at his numbers at this time last year, and I was surprised to see that his numbers this year are actually better than they were at this point last year. He's got more homers, more RBIs. So I don't know. Maybe Vladdy's just a late starter. What do you guys think? Thanks.
I will say this, Vladdy's chasing less, walking more, et cetera. He might be a slow starter. I can see Kevin's head explode. I'm just going to jump. He might be a slow starter. He just might be one of those guys.
Boy.
And what if he is?
He said two seasons where he's been a 6-WAR player, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
Two seasons. And really, realistically, he's had one season where he's been a 6-WAR player.
Well,
if you're into WAR, and the rest of the time he's been somewhere around in the high 2s and the low 3s. I think that's basically what he is. Is he going to hit 45? Is he going to hit 45 homers? Is he going to hit 45? Do you think he will hit 45 homers again?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, absolutely I do. All right, without question. Over the life of that contract, because at some point you know, at some point the lineup will be.
So you think it has to do with the lineup around it?
I think it has a lot to do with the lineup around it.
That gets back to that. You sort of are what you are because of who's around you.
Well, you don't want to be.
You ain't like the dude that's in New York that stands alone by himself all the time. You ain't that guy. That's what I'm trying to say. Is he that? I mean, let's be real about this. Like, if that's sort of, I think, the conversation that Ken wants me and you to have.
I don't think he's Aaron Judge, no. But I don't know who is Aaron Judge other than Aaron Judge.
Is he a top 10 offensive player in baseball?
This year, no.
Ever. I mean, in his career, top 20.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yes, he can. Sure, he can be. White. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't seem too sure about that.
No, I am sure. I just said absolutely he can be a top 10 player.
I think
the
rest
of you think. Let me ask you this. Do you think he's had his best year? Yes or no?
His best year.
You think his best year is done in the books already? That through the life of this contract, he's never going to have a year better than the 2 years he's already had. Those are the best. You're never going to see Vladdy like that again.
I think the year that he had in the two small parks is going to be real hard to duplicate.
Okay.
So I'll say yes.
All right. That's fair.
But I think he can have more years like he had last year. It's just getting 6 months out of him instead of 4 months. That's the thing. How do you do that?
Yeah, hopefully.
And can you again?
Hopefully at some point, you know, you'll be making an off-season acquisition and a guy that doesn't take 3 months himself to get going.
I mean, some would say that they went out and dropped a hundo on a guy who could hit 40 plus to help him out a little bit.
Slow starter.
Okay. His presence in the lineup should make the dude hitting in front of him better, is what should happen.
No, I think
And that, he has a healthy shortstop hits in front of him, most of the time's on base all the time.
He needs.
Boy, are circling the wagons with this, ain't you?
No, he needs.
Yeah, you are.
He needs a productive hitter around him.
Oh, boy, I mean,
who did he have around him in his good years?
A plethora of people in small parks.
I mean, he had people like Semien. Okay. He had Teoscar. That wasn't a small park year.
I think you got to be realistic with expectations with Vladdy.
I think you're too negative.
No,
I think you're too negative.
With how?
How the hell?
What
can
are you talking
how
about?
How the hell can you sit here and say that he's already had the best year he's going to have?
It's been a while since I've looked up the stats that he had in 2021 in those small parks. You think he's ever going to be better than that year?
He might be.
Well, good luck. Because he hasn't since. What was that, like 5-6 years ago?
It might be.
I mean, he should be smarter. He should be knowing who he is and what he can do, and he should be sort of aware of the league now. It's okay to be who you are consistently.
He has spent the past couple of years with the Brandon Belts of the world hitting around him, a diminishing George Springer hitting amount around him. Justin Turner was a big acquisition. Remember, Justin Turner was going
to
come on.
This is all I have to say to you. You dropped $500 million on somebody who needs help.
No, you're better than that.
That's what you. That's
everybody
what you're
needs help.
They do.
Everybody
My
needs
judge.
Help.
I mean, they never win when he stinks. What's he like, 0 for his last 19 with 12
punches?
How many
World Series rings
does Aaron
Judge have?
They don't win games without him. But when he's breaking, they do win.
How many World Series rings does Aaron
Judge have? Well, how many World Series has he been to?
There you
go.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
He's supposed to be the great. He's going to carry. He dropped the ball in the World Series last year. He was great in the World Series.
He
couldn't win with the best hitter of his generation behind him. He couldn't win with Juan Soto in the lineup.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, he's at least in it.
You're better
having
than that.
A chance
You're better
to win
than
it.
That, Kevin. You're better. I'm very disappointed in you.
I don't know what. Ken did that because he knew that would work.
I'm very disappointed.
Way to go,
Ken. Very disappointed.
We'll see who's right about who. You know, has he had his best year ever? Is a tremendous question.
We won't be around at the end of the contract.
Well, we can watch from afar.
I won't be watching from afar. Hey. Bill in Burlington.
I just don't understand John Schneider's way of handling the pitching. He has a pitcher out in the mound that just struck out two people, and they get a different batter goes up, and he changes the pitcher. The next pitcher who comes in, whack, there goes a home run. Why does he not leave the pitcher in for one more batter? I just don't see how he does that. He does that so many times.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this. Why doesn't he leave him in for two more batters or three more batters? I don't understand the the argument. I could be wrong. Does every time John Schneider make a pitching change, the new guy come in and give up a home run? I thought some of their middle relievers were pretty good.
I would assume that Bill's talking about
getting here. Bill's saying he thinks that he thinks John has too quick of a hook.
I think he does with think that. Yeah, I think he think. Well, I don't know if he's his starters or not, but he's talking about maybe, you know, like Little.
Yeah.
Little faced four batters. You take Little out, you bring Fisher in.
That's
facing
fair.
Suarez, he does the elevated slider. It's an RBI single. It's like that, right? It's adding to the deficit.
See, it seems to me I've had more watching John where I've gone, maybe you were a hit or two late taking him out as opposed to early. It's pretty hard to say that a manager took a guy out early just because a guy comes in and gives up a hit.
Yeah.
Like there's no such thing as the theory of the predestined hit. Just be, you know, it's.
I mean, Bowden hasn't been very good. You got three older guys. I mean, you can tell John wants to let the three old guys have the longest leash possible. I mean, would you leave Bassett in an inning longer last night? I mean, he had 97 pitches. Yeah. You ain't doing that. I mean, no. You bring in Little. You know, the knuckle curve is just – it's very non-competitive a lot. I know he has great stuff and he strikes out a bunch of people, but, boy, he throws a lot of pitches. Yeah. So it makes it real easy for John, you know, when Fisher's doing really well against righties and can throw the slider. I mean, it's the first time we've seen him as a big leaguer with Jays throw an elevated slider with two strikes, right? I mean, he's playing the hot hand and sort of that element of surprise.
And
you just have to make the right pitch. More often than not,
he's playing the available hand.
And he's trying to keep it close enough to allow the lineup to do something.
Let's keep in mind that not every reliever is available every day. And I think sometimes fans forget that just because a guy isn't a starter, it means he can be used every day. That's not the way baseball is now.
If I would have told you that Tony would stink, not been around for a long time. Varsho hasn't played a lot. Max Scherzer threw three innings, and they'd be six games above 500. You'd be like, you're crazy. There's no way that's happening.
I would not believe
no
that.
No chance.
I would not believe
and
that.
Kirky's probably been your best hitter all year.
Even though I know that Vladdy's a slow starter, I still would not have believed that.
So, I mean, I don't know how you argue and yell and scream about what John's doing.
I don't think he was yelling and screaming.
Bill wants to yell. He just didn't on that because he knew we wouldn't play it.
I mean, we'll play it if somebody yells.
Maybe.
Dave in Calgary.
It's a good call.
Bet they're happy in Calgary today.
I want to know, when are the Blue Jays going to play Addison Barger at third base and only third base? Don't like moving them around.
Boy, oh boy.
They're not.
Thanks, Dave.
I mean, it's a great question, Dave. I would love to see it, but they're not. I mean, blame Ernie for raking. I mean, that's where it's at. Blame Dalton for not being on the field. Blame Tony for, you know, stinking when he was here and then he got hurt like that. You know, it could be interesting to see when everybody's back how John plays it out, right? I mean, Ernie's forced their hand. And the way Ernie's playing on the defensive side and the way he's hitting, I mean, he's hitting the middle of the order. He's a run producer. Yeah. Like, he's putting him in run-producing situations in the lineup because he's earned it. And that sort of first forced John to put Barger in the outfield, which, I mean, Luis came on there and said he's got one of the better arms he's seen in a long time. That's fair. I just worry about that, right? How many times have you seen a younger kid trying to make his way?
It's hard.
And then you're chucking balls all over the place, and now he starts to get worried about that instead of that C-ball, hit-ball kind of thing, sort of simplifying it. I don't think it'll happen, but
I keep thinking of, and he's in town, I mean, I keep thinking of Lourdes Gurriel Jr., how the Jays for
the Yips.
Yeah, they tried to force him to be an infielder. He was not an infielder.
No.
And if you remember how that worked out, he was taken out of a game by Charlie Montoyo because he was obviously uncomfortable. He had the Yips.
Now, we're not saying Barger's
No. Let me finish, though. But he went into Charlie and said, look, send me down to the minors. I mean, let me work this out. And so I don't see that. I don't see that with Barger. And again, you've got to know the guy. If Addison Barger's, if mentally playing in right field was completely throwing him off, I don't think John Schneider would put him out there. But again, I'm going to say this. A cheap lefty power hitter, the Jays will have an everyday spot for him at some
question.
Point. And he will be, as much as we like what Ernie Clement has done, Addison Barger right now is the third baseman of the future for this team.
Smells like it.
He should be. And even if Ernie keeps raking, with all due respect to Ernie, I want the lefty bat. I mean, I'm sorry, but I want that lefty bat.
He can be your fifth guy in the infield. I mean, they're a better team now, because of that, right?
Now, at some point, Ernie may, I don't know what it, I don't know how close he is to being a free agent or anything. At some point, Ernie plays like an everyday player.
Well, he can play second. The Bo thing might, become something. They move the second baseman to short.
That's the other thing.
Ernie could be the everyday second baseman, that kind of thing. I mean, he's a cheap guy, too. He's doing some things offensively.
I feel better about their infield of the future now than I did 2 years ago. And also, I think Namal at some point is going to be up here and is going to be really good. But I think they now, you can kind of close your eyes and you can envision a good defensive infield of Barger, Jimenez at short, Clement at second, Vladdy at first.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say the Barger thing in right field's a thing. I'm just saying you don't want it to turn into a thing.
Yeah.
I was young once. I was in the big leagues once, and trying to do things outside the box, right? Trying to perform at a high level and live up to the expectations on the defensive side, which is a thing with the Blue Jays,
and
right?
You do not want, you made a very good point, you do not want the arm to get in his head.
I'm not saying it's going to, because I don't think he's that kind of kid, but man alive, like how good he plays at third.
Let's go to Larry in St. Albert.
Larry.
I don't know that I'm overthinking this, but you're talking about the top three. You haven't mentioned Ernie Clement's name. Why? The guy is playing well, can play practically any position except pitch. And then I wouldn't note they put him as a utility pitcher on a blowout. But anyway, why not Ernie Clement for a first or in the top three anyway? Your thoughts, comments, please.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Because he's not better than Bo, Barger, Vladdy, Kirk, or Springer.
I would add to that Ernie does like a first pitch fastball. And if I've got three, let me finish. If I got three righties, righty, 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 and we've already talked about one of the issues with Vladdy is not getting, that Bo chases. Here comes Ernie. That's gone. I look at it.
Yeah, too, I think it's a lot to ask Ernie, right, to move up in the top of the lineup. You're being asked to do different things, right? I mean, hitting fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth's a little different.
I think
hitting
you're right.
First,
I think
second,
he's a run
third.
Producer. I keep him down in the middle
of
the order.
That's a bit strong. But,
no,
I mean,
but I mean, he has been a run producer. I want that bat down in the middle of the order.
I mean, the run producers are at the top of the order. You sprinkle in Springer.
Ernie is capable of driving in a run.
Absolutely. I think bat-to-ball skills, right? I mean, that plate coverage that he does have, because of the way he attacks fastballs, is a big deal. I think it's cool that Larry actually thinks he can come on here and say that about Ernie. That says a lot about what Ernie's turned into. How about that? I mean, I'll say it that way. Would you be mad against the lefty if Ernie's hitting second?
No,
I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't.
Like if they flip-flop Barger and Ernie tonight, you'd be mad about that? No. I wouldn't be. Of what Ernie's doing.
He wouldn't be my first choice, but I wouldn't come on and
against the lefty.
I wouldn't come on and and criticize it.
No, you will criticize John whenever he puts Vladdy back in the duo.
Well, yeah, because that's just stupid.
I can't wait till that happens.
That's just. Anyhow.
You know what's happening. Khaki's going to go, boy, that bat pass. We got nobody but Bo and Vladdy to match up against that bat path. How dare you give somebody else the extra bat? You know what's happening, Jeff. Oh, you know what's happening.
There will be that game where Vladdy's hit four home runs and the Jays lose 14-13 and Vladdy's going to finish the game in the on deck circle and people are going to go, what the hell's John Schneider doing?
I'll buy you a steak dinner. He hits four homers in one game. Steak dinner.
You still haven't paid up for the...
Oh, yeah. Which way the train's going to head out of the station? Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you remember that bet too, bud? Huh? Yeah. I bet you a hundo, American.
I was a little confused that day. I didn't realize which direction the GO train was coming.
I'll bet you a hundred. Yeah. Still waiting for that.
I was a little confident, shall we say.
Yeah.
Let's do our baseball trivia. We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here on Blair and Barker. All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Our last question and answer was, he was a first-round pick and played parts of six seasons in the majors. Despite being drafted by an NL team, he has played exclusively for American League teams in his MLB career, including the Blue Jays and White Sox. The trade that sent him out of Toronto ended up being one of the more significant deals in franchise history. The answer is Brett Lowry. And yes, Lowry. That was a significant deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and White Sox at Rogers Center on June 22nd. Yeah. Did you see, by the way, that the I think it was Fair Territory, the White Sox players all have White Sox jerseys with the Pope, with the name Pope in the back?
He's a big fan of the White Sox.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty.
You saw him in a game once, I think, a long time ago.
Yeah,
which is neat.
Yeah, that's pretty. Anyhow, today's question is what?
They stink. Well, they need all the help they can get.
Well, they're getting more help than anybody else. I'll tell you what.
They are not good. Wow.
Tell you what. Today's question is to win tickets to see Jays and White Sox at the Rogers Center on June 22nd. He was a five-time All-Star in his career and made one of those appearances as a member of the Blue Jays. He's played exclusively for American League teams, except for one season in the NL East. He's a four-time Gold Glove winner at his position and known to enjoy the odd Tim McGraw concert after a game. That's a dead giveaway. He was a five-time All-Star in his career and made one of those appearances as a member of the Blue Jays. He's played exclusively for American League teams, except for one season in the NL East. He's a four-time Gold Glove winner at his position and known to enjoy the odd Tim McGraw concert after a game. You can text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. Standard message and data rates may apply. That's the answer.
Yeah. Fastest games in the world, too, boy, right there.
Huh? No, you just gave it away.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you didn't know that.
I just gave it away.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Well, because I went like that, probably no, because I'd have to think about it. So, no, not for me.
Yeah, I don't even know where you start, how you figure out who's a Hall of Famer nowadays.
I don't either. I got it. The games, innings pitched.
I don't even know how you guess.
Was I sitting there?
Did you vote for him?
No. Was I sitting here watching him thinking, by God, I'm watching one of the best pitchers I've ever seen in my life? The answer is no.
Well, I mean, that's happened. Like the last 5 years, some people have been elected into the Hall of Fame.
That's fine.
That I've played with.
Yeah, I didn't vote for any of them, though.
That none of them I went, man, alive. Hey, let's try to get the Hall of Famer up there. Yeah, no, he'll end it for us.
I didn't vote for them.
Not one time.
I didn't vote for them either.
Nothing against them. Good for them.
No, I don't. Hey, if this guy, Yeah, this guy gets in, it's not going to make – it'll be like Harold Baines. It's not going to make the Hall of Fame worse.
No.
No one's going to go in and go, you know what? I'm not going to the Hall of Fame because Harold Baines is in. Because, yeah, it's just not it's
the Hall of Good.
He'll probably end up making it. He'll end up making it.
It'll take a while, but he'll be in the mix,
He'll get the 15 to 20% good guy boost that – guys get.
I think you're selling him a bit short.
No, I don't mean that. No, he'll get that's a thing. He is the type of guy.
That's the word, though. I mean, you guys are front runners who vote. You know, it is about these buddies. He bought me a beer at
that's
a bar once. Oh, yeah,
that's
it
not
is.
True.
Absolutely.
That's not true.
Well, not you, but most.
That's not true.
You're swirly, so it's, you know.
That's not true. No, I just, great pitcher. Not.
Well, that's the question. Is he great? Is he really good? Is he great or is he good? That's the question.
Okay, really good pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not the best pitcher.
But not the worst.
I wouldn't put him in the top 40 pitchers I've seen in my life, starting pitchers. No.
But the Hall of Fame thing's changed.
Yeah.
It's changed. Yeah, it is.
And there will be, I'm sure you can make a case for him analytically.
Oh.
And there will be people who will turn this into a thing, and that's okay.
Yeah.
He may get in.
I'd be okay with it.
I would, too.
Yeah, I would.
That's one of those things where I wouldn't, like I said, I didn't vote for Billy Wagner either. Am I upset Billy Wagner's in? Nah. I can't get worked up about. I mean, I'm trying to think the last time a guy went in the Hall of Fame and I got really worked up about it.
Well, Baines, you were surprised.
Yeah, but that wasn't a vote.
I know, but you were still surprised.
Half his
coaching staff was on that committee.
Yeah, exactly. That was a committee. I just, whatever. But it was one of those things where, yeah, okay, it's Harold Baines. I mean, I'm not going to pitch a fit because Harold Baines got
just
in.
Opened the door, I think, for,
well.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's changed. There you go.
I'm a small hall guy.
You too.
Yeah, I
am. Well, you know I am. You know, I'm the guy that's only vote. I only vote.
Well, I know who you vote for, which is a shame. You should never get a vote again. Yeah. You shouldn't. It's ridiculous. You're the only person. I shouldn't say you're the only person because he does get votes.
Pretty damn close. One of the 10 best hitters I've seen.
I mean, he had some help.
He was one of the 10 best hitters I saw before he had help.
How do you know before?
Just like Barry Bonds.
How do you know before?
Just like Barry Bonds.
You don't know that.
I know Barry Bonds.
You don't know before.
Yeah.
Because their hat wouldn't fit.
To me, it's not a factor.
So you saying they didn't need that to become Hall of Famers is what you said?
I don't think they did, but they went ahead and did it. And we talked about this. I'm okay with it. I am okay with it because everybody was doing it. Most guys were doing it.
I wasn't.
Not everybody.
You lied.
Most guys were doing it, and a lot of them were pitchers. A lot of them were dudes that were giving up the bombs. So I'm sorry. I can't, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people in the Hall of Fame too that had a.
Oh, there are.
I'm not going to name them, but there are. I know there are.
I could come up with 10 names.
Well,
I know
one name I used to run in the outfield with.
Anyhow. yes. Yeah.
There's some people.
Joe Siddall is our Blue Jay Central analyst. He'll join us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. A little bit of controversy here in the studio.
Huh? Edumacation.
A little bit of controversy.
Oh, be quiet.
That's true. It's true.
Who's the second best hitter you've ever seen live? Second best hitter.
Second best hitter?
Second best hitter.
Tony Gwynn.
We know who the first one is.
Tony Gwynn.
Wow, really?
Yep. Tony Gwynn. No question.
Wow.
Bringing Joe Siddall, our Blue Jays analyst on Sportsnet.
I don't believe you. That's crazy.
Joe, who are the two best hitters you've seen?
Two best hitters ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Tony Gwynn's got to be up there.
Thank you.
I mean, played against, played with, you mean, or just watched?
No, ever.
Just
watched, whatever.
Say Barry's the greatest hitter you've ever seen ever, which I think you could agree. No?
Ohtani's pretty good. Judge is pretty good.
He ain't Bonds. Neither one of those are Bonds.
Bonds can do some special
things. He could. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's an interesting question.
We don't really care. As long as you said Gwynn, that was the important thing. Because I had Gwynn. I had Gwynn there. The rest of it, we don't really care about.
Griffey's pretty good, too, I saw.
Yeah. You would know. And Gwynn just raked in Montreal for whatever reason. He raked everywhere, but
he didn't hit homers, though.
Yeah, but he was so much. He was just.
That's what makes what Judge is doing pretty cool right now, because he can hit for high. He's not doing it all, right?
Yeah.
We have to really sit back and enjoy this.
Yeah.
So my friend, Mr. Barker, says that you're not a fan of Vladdy hitting third.
I'd love to see him hitting third if they had a really good leadoff hitter and Bo could hit second.
Okay.
But since George moved out of that leadoff spot, this has been the issue all along, right? And I was in full agreement. If you don't have that, then you put your two best up there and Bo one and Vladdy two. The tough part about that is that I think we know both of them would prefer, Bo would prefer to be two and Vladdy would prefer to be three. They've talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. But they're just doing it because they don't have somebody up there. And I still like it the way it is with Bo and Vladdy 1-2, and I know the numbers tell you differently with Vladdy and how he likes number three, and the numbers are better. Squeezing Barger in there is interesting. I thought it found it very interesting tonight against the lefty. I thought for sure they would slide somebody else in again. Who? Take your pick, whether it's Ernie for a day against the lefty or Kirky or whatever. But the George Springer thing, no longer being your leadoff hitter, really threw this wrinkle into everything.
Yeah. You see anything different with Vladdy? Timing-wise, did he get started sooner? Is he swinging at different pitches? Did you see anything?
It looked to me last night, Kev, maybe that he was making a conscious effort to catch it out front.
Yeah.
And you can use the word cheating. You can use the word, you know, just taking a shot. Whatever the case may be, it looked like, whether he started early or not, it just looked like he was making a conscious effort to get that bat head out front. Now, the problem with doing that, if you're not going to correct your mechanics or change your mechanics at all, and you are trying to catch it out front, well, that's kind of cheating, right? That's trying to get it out there. And when you do that, you're going to be very susceptible to some other things. The home run was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like, he caught a fastball top of the zone, and it's up in the zone, and I thought he got behind it pretty good. It looked to me like one of those cases where he's going up looking for that heater, got it, and put that good swing on it. It was a really good swing on the changeup in the first at-bat, and we were just talking about Vladdy and what I've been seeing about it while it happened. Now, it was a changeup in there. I'd like to see him, when he does that, to 95 on the inside corner, and I referred back to the Garrett Cole home run from a few years ago, right, with 98 on the inside, because I believe when Vladdy is right, and we've seen it on several occasions over the last number of years, we just don't see it all the time. Why? Who knows? I'm not sure he knows. Otherwise, he'd correct it. So I see things, but I still see a similar approach. Until he really focuses on staying behind the baseball, and to me, that's got a big part of controlling that forward move, then we're going to see, like, that big RBI single he hit late in the game, and everybody thinks Vladdy's back because they had three RBIs. Well, to me, that's really not a good Vladdy swing. It's just he's so darn talented, he can come around to baseball and grounded into left field at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, we've seen Barger do different things, right? We've seen him tone down his lower half. We've seen him, you know, hit a changeup, go up his next at bat, look fastball. He doesn't think he's getting changeup. What do you think's next offensively for him?
Well, I think what's next, Kev, is he's going to have to adjust to what pitchers are doing to him. And I got to believe he's going to continue to see a lot more spin. And he is seeing it already. And I think when he first came up and really made an impact and his name was getting known a little bit more now around the league, it happens. That's just the way it is. And I thought that's what we're going to do, is teams are going to start spinning. He was crushing fastballs, and he wasn't doing much on breaking balls. So what's the league going to do? They're going to challenge him more. So until now he starts doing something with breaking balls, now that doesn't mean you're not going to get a fastball to hit or you're not going to get a splitter to hit like he did last night. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for Shelby Miller, he missed down and in, and that ball was supposed to be down and away. If it's down and away, I think he's got him. I still think Addison's got a little bit of pull centric to that swing. He's as good as it is. I love the move, but he does kind of leak out of there. And I think he leaves himself a little exposed middle away. But I mean, you can't cover everything. So if you're going to cover middle in, cover it and don't miss it. That's exactly what he did.
You concerned at all about moving him around from right field to third base? I know Kevin's talked about this.
Arm angles, a little.
He's worried about, you know, arm angles and the throwing aspect of it. You know, I think we all know John's doing what he can do. He's trying to maximize his lineup, and he's trying to get both Ernie and Addison in the lineup at the same time. Any concern at all, though, about having this young guy, this young left-handed hitter, who should be a big part of your organization's future, and you probably haven't settled on a position for him yet? Or is that just not that big a deal in 2025?
Well, I don't think it's a big deal in 2025 because we're seeing players play all over the place.
Sure.
And you know, Kevin and I are probably not accustomed to seeing that. We'd like to see him in a spot. I'd like to see him be the right fielder, or I'd like to see him be the third baseman. But for now, it's working for this team. And I mean, I know you guys have talked about the Devers situation, but there's also a very important aspect of doing what's best for your team at the present time. And I think what the Blue Jays have told us is they don't necessarily want to see a ton of George Springer in the outfield.
Right.
So with Barger in right field, it allows Ernie to play third base. Now, again, I think ideally against left-handers, because Ernie's been mashing left-handers. Against right-handers, I think you can go back and Barger can play third. I don't think that's a big deal right now. I think he's got such a good arm. And I agree with you, Kev. It probably will be a challenge for Addison. Yeah. But when to see him come up with a couple of throws last night there, I mean, he was challenging Corbin Carroll at second base there. Bo comes up with that ball, he's got him. And I was watching Carroll the whole way, and I think he was going to challenge him. So that was a fun play to watch, and unfortunately, Bo didn't come up with the baseball. The other one, the throw just got into the runner a little bit. That can happen from right field. I think Ernie's got to do a better job of making sure it doesn't get by him, and Bassett has to do a better job of making sure it doesn't get out of play. But still a pretty good, strong throw, and maybe not right on the money. But I don't think that's a big deal for Addison to me. I think you can put him wherever you want right now. The big thing will be for me, and I'm still, it is early. As great as he's doing, guys, I still think it's still early to just think he's going to be your third baseman for the next 10 years or your right fielder for the next 10 years. Let's see some more, because this league will adjust, and he's going to have to adjust back.
Why do you think Eric Lauer's fastball has been so good?
You know, one thing you can always think about is location. And, I mean, a guy throws a ball game, and you will never hear me say, Kev, that he stayed away from the middle of the plate all night. Because you know what? I don't think I've ever caught a game where the pitcher has stayed away from the middle of the plate with every pitch. You can't do it. It's an easy thing to say. It's cliche, but I think it is where he locates his pitches. Like, his four-seam fastball is at the top of the zone. That cutter is glove side in on those righties. Like, he's really good with those locations, and that's a big thing. The curveball, he drops it down there at the bottom of the zone rather consistently. Now, I think the delivery, there has to be some deception in there. The slower delivery, the way it comes out of his hand, you know, the metrics will probably tell you a lot of things, extension, whatever it is. But you see the fastball on top of the zone. You know, years ago, we didn't know what that was. We came back to the dugout and we told your buddy on the on-deck circuit, say, hey, it's got a little giddy up. It's got an extra gear up there. Get it going. Well, now they know why. They know what it's doing. So I do think there's deception in that delivery, but it doesn't surprise me a bit that it's at the top of the zone. That's where we see the effective heaters in the game today.
Yep.
I should remember to turn the
first
on
time.
Button. First time, long time. is there any doubt in your mind that with Max Scherzer pitching tonight at Buffalo, that Eric Lauer is still going to have a spot in this team, though, when and if Max Scherzer's back?
Well, I think so, right? With Bowden to the IL, we have two spots to deal with. I thought he'll be interesting. I'm guessing it's going to be a Spencer Turnbull-ish day.
Right.
I think he was throwing a side today. So, you know, the best thing today is maybe Lauer can get through five. And I know it's asking maybe a lot, but say four plus five. And it all depends on how the game shakes out. If it's lopsided one way or the other, that's, you'll see certain guys. But if you can get through this and you've got Turnbull Friday along with some other guys to get through that day, it's all how Max feels. It's all how Max does, right? If he gets through it, fine. I don't doubt whatsoever we will see him make his next start here. But I say that cautiously because we know with Max, number one, he has to pitch, feel good, perform, do well. And most importantly, next day after that, the recovery. He's talked about it every time he's touched the baseball, so we have to adhere to it.
Any concern with Brendan Little, number of pitches and non-competitive knuckle curves?
Yeah, I think, Kev, he's just so good early in the season. He's just got two phenomenal pitches, and it's really interesting how he's gone from, I used to talk about the sinker so much last year and what a ground ball pitcher he is. Yeah, the curveball was good, but now it's like he could go up there and tell them the curveball's coming and nobody can hit it. It's unbelievable. But it just seems to be that release point. Is it the workload? Is it fatigue? Is it too much? What's going on? Who knows? But, yeah, there is a concern because I think, number one, when you see a young pitcher like that, he's not that young anymore, but pitcher getting that much work, and it's two pitches essentially. And, I mean, there are a lot of games we come in, and it's just curve. He's just spinning those things. When you don't have that feel, because he spikes, some of those things look like 55 feet at times. When they're good, they're really good. But the inconsistencies tells me that he's just lost that feel. Why do you lose the feel? Well, hopefully something's not bothering him. But mechanically, if you lose that feel off your fingertips, I've seen pitchers search for that stuff, and that can be ugly. And guess what? They're usually lefties.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, the workload for Kirky, it's okay. Like, you're seeing everything you need to see offensively,
well,
defensively. Has it been where you like it to be?
Well, workload's a different question than what we've been seeing, because what we've been seeing is the best version of Alejandro Kirk.
How about that?
Yeah. He looks strong in the batter's box. Mm-hmm. His at-bats are just different. It reminds me a lot of a Silver Slugger season, maybe even better. Like, he is just strong. He's got his legs under him. That's all great, and he's just phenomenal behind the plate. But when you said the word workload, I'll say it's mid-June. Let's see. I remember standing at Kirky's locker room in spring training in Dunedin and said, you know, John Schneider had talked about the workload and what they might ask of him this year. I was kind of raising my eyebrows, and I went to ask Alejandro. I said, how many games do you think you can start? He said 115, maybe 120. And I went, wow. I said, really? That's a big jump for what he's been doing. All is good right now. I think they're managing him wonderfully because of how he looks. He looks strong. He looks like it's April 1st. But let's, again, let's give it a month. And in July, it could be a different conversation. But hopefully he can keep doing it, because whatever he's doing in the weight room, whatever he's doing to prepare for himself, they got it right now.
Yeah, he's hitting cleanup.
And
crazy, right?
I think the biggest thing, guys, is he's playing on days where Tyler Heineman's catching as well. And, I mean, I think a lot of us thought that, you know, that would be the day off for him. It'll be interesting to see when Varsho and Santander get back. Does he get a few more days off? But, I mean,
Joe, to your point, he should be hitting cleanup. That's your point.
He has to be right now, right?
Yeah.
I think today, and I asked John Schneider this about the Heineman catching today, and I said, is it because of the consequences of last night, a couple of guys being hurt, or did you have Heineman's inked in there to catch? And he said, no, that was kind of the plan. I'm not sure I believe that. I believe this is the consequence of being down a couple of outfielders, and the guys on the bench are left-handers. So if you want an extra right-handed bat in there, that's Heineman. He's got a catch. He's not going to DH. So you catch him, you DH Kirky. So I think that's more to do with it today against Eduardo Rodriguez, keeping the lefties on the bench.
Nice.
Joe, really good of you to do this so close to game time, my friend. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Have fun, buddy.
All right, guys.
Enjoy your call.
Have a great night.
Take care. That's Joe Siddall, Blue Jay Central analyst. And, yeah, that is one of the things, you know, we always play that game. If I had told you this, ...
Yeah.
And if you had told me that Alejandro Kirk would be so good that they'd be DHing him on days where Tyler Heineman is catching.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not shocked by that part. Like, yeah, I think everybody knows he can hit. It's just can he do both at the level he's doing it now?
What I'm saying I think a lot of us thought that Tyler Heineman starts would be rest days for Kirky. And
well, that's with Tony in the lineup. That's with Varsho in the lineup. That's your point.
That makes, to me, what he's doing even more remarkable.
Yeah, he's earned it. I mean, every routine that he found in the offseason has worked.
Tell you what,
he looks strong, hitterish.
He looks hitterish.
Man,
and you watch, it's funny. And was it the Phillies series here?
Caleb, I think.
No, watching the reaction of the Phillies, I can't remember which Philly starter it was, but Kirk had a couple of hits in the game. And I can't remember who the Philly starter was, but it was just like a shake of the head. Like, how do I get this guy out?
Yeah. I mean, both sides of the ball, you can tell whatever his best shape is, he's in it. Absolutely. And that is
pretty good contract so far.
There you go again. See, it's like you tried today. You're trying today,
it's a pretty good contract so far.
It's like you've tried to get me yelled at from other people. I don't appreciate you today, Jeff. I really don't, okay? Everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And that's why they are six games above 500. Third place. They're sitting pretty. They're exactly where they should be. It's a miracle they're where they're at because of who they don't have and what they haven't been doing. So give everybody credit.
There are a couple of stories we didn't touch, by the way. A couple of ownership-related stories. The Dodgers are...
I'm mad at you, though.
Why?
Because
the Dodgers are buying the Lakers. Mark Walter, the main owner of the Dodgers, is buying the Lakers, which is interesting because I think David Sampson tweeted, I think LeBron James is actually part owner of the Boston Red Sox. So anyway, I don't know how that, he's a minority owner of the Red Sox. I don't know how that works out. And the Tampa Bay Rays apparently have an agreement in principle with businessmen in Tampa Bay and Jacksonville. But again, as several people have said, this is like the fourth agreement in principle they've had, and the agreements in principle tend to turn into disagreements in principle. But you get the sense from doing some reading on this that the rubber may have met the road with the Rays and local politicians, and the Rays may actually need to move on from Stuart Sternberg in order to get the stadium issue resolved, new voices, things of that nature.
Change the Rays, you think? You know, like the Rays, what the Rays are, the underground city.
Well,
you think that changes them? New ownership?
the question around the Rays has always been, now Stuart Sternberg isn't poor, let's be honest, but what if you got a...
Can they spend money?
Well, yeah. That's what if thing. You got? What if you got an owner
yeah.
who had a crap ton of money and wanted to spend money to win a World Series? You're in a no-tax state. Some of the things you talk about with Arizona hold for Florida. It's a spring training location. A lot of guys have their year-round houses in Florida.
Mm-hmm. You get a new stadium, an owner that has money and wants to spend it. Holy moly. Would they know how to spend it? Would you have to get a new group in there? I mean, this group's so used to doing what they're doing now with the underground city. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I read that is, wow, will the Rays be the Rays still?
One of J.P. Ricciardi's great lines was, you know what I wish I had? I wish I had Yankees money and Tampa Bay analytical know-how.
That's fair.
That would be the happy marriage. Look, I hope the ownership situation gets resolved there because all kidding aside about the Rays, we laugh about the Rays a lot and we joke about the Rays. It should be a good baseball market with the right stadium in the right area with a retractable roof. It should be a good baseball market. You know, I keep telling people their TV numbers are good. They're robust.
Yep.
It's just the ballpark is such a pain in the ass to get to when it... Now, the one in Tampa is a little easier, but when it was in St. Pete, it's a pain. I'd like that area to keep the team. But that is interesting. Yeah. What happens if a really well-heeled owner comes in and starts...
Well, like people looking around at each other going, what do we do now? Like, I don't really need you
anymore.
Wait a minute.
Like, you want us to spend money on a free agent pitcher instead of going in the lab?
Do you know what to do? What's he saying? I've never heard that. It's an intriguing thing. Like, they're so used to doing it one way and being really good. They got over 40 wins, Jeff. Like that's nuts. And they play in a park that stinks.
You know what is really kind of
crazy?
Funny? When you think of all the times we've talked about the Rays, just watch out for the Rays. Here come the Rays. You know, we laugh at the Rays. We talk about the Rays. The Rays have got Toronto's number and everything. We've probably spent less time talking about the Rays this year than we ever have. And son of a gun, they've got 40 wins.
Well, that's because you stopped being the...
40 wins.
Yeah, you're not the cheerleader anymore. You used to be that guy. You would be on... You know, top of the dugout, first one cheering for him. You ain't that way anymore because you're a front runner. You know, they had a bad down year. They're in a minor league park.
I don't care about the
minor
league.
How dare I root for a team that plays in the minor league park? I think that's what it is. You're such a front runner.
I'm not a front runner.
You are. I'm a Twins fan again.
I'm just not a hater.
You're a
hater. Guy makes too much money.
You're such a...
Just not a hater. Kevin, I'm a lover, not a hater. You know that.
I do know that.
You know that.
I found that out.
Yeah, I am. I've gotten a little soft in my old age, and you know, but I've never been the guy to hammer in people for the amount of money they make. And if I had my way, every baseball player would be
blank
paid
checks.
The maximum.
Blank checks.
Blank checks is right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. God, that Kirk contract looks so
good. It does look good, don't it? I'm glad it's working out.
Yeah, we all are.
Oh, absolutely.
We all are. Because
sports talk radio. Okay.
Listen, the way this year was going at one point.
You needed something. You needed something.
Yeah.
And that's something. Yeah.
It seemed as if wasn't going to work.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
I mean, anyhow, there we are. All right, we'll be doing Blue. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk following tonight's game, and we will be doing Blue Jays talk tomorrow afternoon following the afternoon game on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. Friday, regular service will be resumed. The skipper, John Schneider, will join us. Have yourself a great night. Enjoy the baseball. Nothing else on.